Okay, so let's dive into this, right? When we think about lynching in the South, late 19th, early 20th centuries, it's heavy stuff, right?
It
It's
is.
complex. There's so much misinformation out there.
Absolutely.
It's crucial to get this right.
Yeah.
So for this deep dive, we're turning to, well, I think a really powerful voice, Ida B. Wells Barnett and her pamphlet, Southern Horrors, Lynch Law in All Its Phases, published in 1892. This work is, I mean, it's just a searing indictment of racial terror and the myths that were used to justify it.
Yeah, and what makes Southern horror so powerful is that, Wells Barnett wasn't writing this from some, ivory tower.
Right?
She was forced to flee Memphis when a mob, outraged by her editorial challenging the common justification for lynchings, destroyed her newspaper.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, facing that kind of danger just for speaking truth to power.
Yeah, I mean, really putting her life on the line. And this is where it gets, I think, really interesting and disturbing. Wells Barnett meticulously dismantles the old threadbare lie, as she calls it, this notion that black men were lynching victims because they were raping white women. And she even cites horrific statistics, like less than a third of victims were even accused of rape. So, I mean, this lie, as potent as it was, clearly served a very specific purpose. But to understand its effectiveness, don't we have to consider the social and political climate of the post-Reconstruction South?
We do, you have white Southerners who are desperately clinging to power in the face of just massive, societal upheaval.
Right, so they needed something to cling to.
Absolutely.
So this myth, the myth of the black rapist, almost becomes a tool for them to use.
It does. It plays on existing prejudices, stokes fear amongst white communities, and it provides a convenient justification for violence and disenfranchisement. And it wasn't just about these, isolated acts of violence. This was about maintaining a racial hierarchy.
A system of control.
Absolutely.
So Wells Barnett quotes a white newspaper editor, and he chillingly suggests that black men are inherently more prone to rape than white men. I mean, just blatant racism. It's designed to strip away their humanity.
Exactly. And that kind of rhetoric, reducing an entire group of people to dangerous stereotypes, it made them easy targets for violence.
Right.
It created this climate of fear where black men were presumed guilty, and any accusation, no matter how flimsy, could be a death sentence.
So Wells Barnett, she doesn't just expose the lie, she meticulously picks it apart. And she highlights numerous cases where white women were consenting partners in interracial relationships. It just completely shatters the narrative, doesn't it?
It does. And the way she presents these cases, it's captivating. There's the story of the Memphis doctor whose wife ran off with their black coachman.
Oh, wow.
It reads like a scandalous novel, but it was real.
Yeah.
And then you have the case of Sarah Clark, who swore in court that she wasn't white to avoid being imprisoned for miscegenation.
Wow.
What a powerful statement.
She's basically saying, if loving this man makes me not white, then I guess I'm not white. It exposes the absurdity, the hypocrisy of the entire system.
Absolutely. And there's another layer to this hypocrisy that Wells Barnett exposes. While white men claimed to be protecting white womanhood, they were simultaneously engaging in widespread sexual exploitation of black women.
Of course, of
The
course.
power dynamics were completely skewed.
It's infuriating. She cites a case in Nashville where a white man who raped a young black girl got a mere 6 months in jail and later became a police detective. I mean, that case perfectly illustrates, I think, the deep-seated injustice, the power imbalance at play.
Absolutely. White men could act with impunity, while black men faced the most severe consequences for even the slightest perceived transgression.
It's unbelievable. And then this all comes to a head with the lynching of the three black businessmen in Memphis. They owned a successful grocery store, and they were seen as a threat to white economic dominance. I mean, in this case, it wasn't even really about rape. It was about crushing black economic success.
And Wells Barnett brilliantly connects this incident to the destruction of her own newspaper.
Okay.
It shows how interconnected racial violence and economic control were. When black people achieved success that challenged the status quo, they were often met with violence and attempts to undermine their progress.
So it's not just about individual acts of hate. It's about a system designed to keep Black people down.
Precisely. And that's what makes Wells Barnett's work so crucial. She forces us to confront the systemic nature of racial violence and the ways in which it was used to uphold white supremacy. It's a history we can't afford to ignore.
We can't.
No.
It's incredible how Wells Barnett's work, published over a century ago, still resonates so deeply today.
Yeah.
It really is a testament to her insight, I think.
It is.
Into these deeply rooted systems of oppression that she was fighting against.
And,
I mean, her analysis just feels eerily relevant, especially when you consider how racial injustice continues to manifest, you know, in our own time.
It does. It does. It's like she was writing about the present day.
So are you saying, like, that those same harmful stereotypes, those narratives that fueled lynching back then, are still present today, just in different forms?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the myth of the Black rapist, it didn't just disappear.
Right.
It morphed and evolved, you know, and it's found new ways to permeate our culture and influence our perceptions, unfortunately.
Right.
And you think about, you know, the disproportionate portrayal of Black men as criminals in the media,
mm-hmm.
or their higher likelihood of being stopped and searched and arrested by law enforcement.
So even though the myth has been debunked, it's become so ingrained in our collective consciousness that it continues to shape our biases.
Precisely. Precisely. And that's why I think it's so important to be aware of these implicit biases,
mm-hmm.
and to actively challenge them.
Yeah.
You know? We need to critically examine those narratives that are presented to us, especially when they reinforce these harmful stereotypes.
Yeah.
We can't just passively accept, you know, what we see and hear.
Right.
Have to dig deeper. Just like Wells Barnett did.
Instead of taking things at face value, we need to ask ourselves those tough questions.
Yeah.
You know, who benefits from this narrative?
Yeah.
What are the underlying power dynamics at play here?
Mm-hmm.
How does this impact real people's lives?
Exactly. Exactly. These stories, these myths, they have real world consequences.
Right.
They influence policies. They shape public opinion. And they contribute to the perpetuation of systemic racism.
And Wells Barnett, you know, she didn't just stop at exposing these injustices, right?
No, she didn't.
She also called on Black people to take collective action, you know, to protect themselves, to fight for their rights.
Mm.
She advocated for boycotts, for emigration, even for armed self-defense.
Yeah, I mean, that was a radical message for its time.
It was.
But, you know, what's so powerful about her message is that it recognizes that change doesn't just happen passively.
Right.
It requires active participation and a willingness to challenge the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And that message has been echoed, you know, throughout history by countless social justice movements, you know,
right.
From the civil rights movement to Black Lives Matter, we see that same spirit of collective action and resistance.
So it's not just about large-scale movements, though, is it?
No, it's not.
It's also about everyday acts of resistance.
Absolutely. You know, speaking out against injustice, supporting organizations that are working to dismantle systemic racism,
mm-hmm.
educating ourselves and others. I mean, these are all ways that we can honor Wells Barnett's legacy and continue the fight for racial justice.
So it's about taking inspiration from her courage and her unwavering commitment to truth and justice and applying it to our own lives and our own communities.
That's right. And we can't give up hope. You know, we have to keep pushing forward.
Right.
We have to keep demanding better and keep working towards a more just and equitable future, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles.
And you know, this reminds me of something that we talk about a lot on the show.
Yeah.
The power of local action.
Absolutely.
You know, just like Wells Barnett mobilized her community,
mm-hmm.
we believe in the power of individuals to make a difference right here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena.
That's what Think and Act Locally is all about, you know,
yeah.
Empowering residents of our community to improve their lives and create positive change.
It's about addressing issues like education and healthcare disparities.
Absolutely.
You know, advocating for economic empowerment, working towards criminal justice reform.
We're all about providing actionable information and resources, mm-hmm. so that residents can become active participants in shaping our community. And we've seen firsthand how this local action can lead to tangible results.
Right.
You know, policy changes, new educational opportunities, stronger connections between neighbors.
So if you're finding value in this deep dive into Ida B. Wells Barnett's work and her call to action,
mm.
consider supporting Think and Act Locally with a donation.
Yeah.
You can find a link to our website in the show notes.
Every contribution helps us to continue this work.
It does.
Of empowering residents and building a more just and equitable community right here in Southeast Houston.
It's about taking inspiration from individuals like Ida B. Wells Barnett.
Yeah.
And channeling their courage and determination into our own actions right here in our own backyard.
And as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, remember that the struggle for racial justice is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Wells Barnett's time, there's always more work to be done.
Right.
More myths to debunk and more systems to dismantle.
You know, as we delve deeper into Southern horrors, I think what really strikes me is Wells Barnett's just incredible courage.
Yeah.
I mean, she faced death threats. Her newspaper was destroyed. She was forced into exile.
Right.
All for speaking truth to power.
Yeah, her resilience in the face of such danger is remarkable, you know.
It is.
She understood the risks, but she refused to be silenced.
Mm-hmm.
She knew her voice and the truth were just too important.
She wasn't just exposing the horrors of lynching.
No.
She was challenging, you know, this entire system of white supremacy.
Right.
Recognizing that these acts of racial terror, I mean, they weren't just isolated incidents, right?
No.
They were symptoms of a much deeper societal sickness.
And that's why her work, you know, remains so relevant today. It's not just a historical account. It's
right.
It's a call to action, you know, urging us to confront how racism continues to permeate our society.
So we need to, like, connect the dots between the legacy of lynching and the forms of injustice that we see today.
Exactly. I mean, think about mass incarceration, police brutality, and you know, the persistent racial disparities in healthcare, education, economic opportunity.
Yep.
And these are all extensions of the system of oppression that Wells Barnett was fighting against.
And her work just reminds us that the struggle for racial justice is far from over.
It's not.
You know, we have to challenge these systems. We have to dismantle these structures of inequality, and we have to work towards a more just and equitable future.
We do. And Wells Barnett, you know, she provides us with a roadmap for how we can do that.
Okay.
You know, her use of investigative journalism, her powerful advocacy, her unwavering commitment to collective action. I mean, these all offer, you know, valuable lessons for today's activists and organizers.
She really showed us that it's not enough to simply acknowledge the problem.
No.
We have to be willing to speak out, to organize, and to demand justice.
We do. And just as she connected, you know, lynching to this larger issue of white supremacy, we need to connect the dots between the various forms of injustice that we see today.
Right.
We have to understand that racism isn't just about, you know, individual acts of prejudice, but it's this complex web of interconnected systems and policies and beliefs that perpetuate inequality.
And just like the residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena are taking action to improve their community,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have a role to play in dismantling these systems.
Absolutely.
Whether it's educating ourselves,
yeah.
supporting organizations that are fighting for justice,
mm-hmm.
having those difficult conversations with our friends and family.
We can all contribute to creating a more just world.
We can.
Wells Barnett ends Southern Horrors with a really powerful statement.
Okay.
She says, the gods help those who help themselves.
Wow.
It's a reminder that we can't wait for someone else to save us, you know?
Right.
We have to be the change we want to see in the world.
She challenges us to take ownership of our responsibility to create a more just and equitable future. And she reminds us that we have the power to make a difference.
We do.
So as we conclude this deep dive,
yeah.
we want to leave you with a final thought.
Absolutely.
What are the modern day equivalents of that old threadbare lie used to justify racial inequality today?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we, like Ida B. Wells Barnett, you know, effectively challenge them? That's something for all of us to consider, I think, as we navigate, you know, these complexities of racism and injustice in our own time.
It is.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Ida B. Wells Barnett's powerful work. We hope you found it informative and thought-provoking.
We do.
And remember, the fight for justice continues, and we all have a role to play.